Okay, here we go. We're on. Can you tell the difference?
All right.
Yeah, I can.
You can.
Feel
you
it.
Can. You can feel. Can you feel a different aura now?
Oh yeah.
Because we're in California.
It's a deep field, man.
Is it feeling the feels? As the kids say.
I can feel it.
Would you introduce yourselves, please?
We are Hello Forever.
Wow, and he's already taking credit for the entire band. Go ahead, everybody else, introduce yourselves.
I'm Anand. I'm the singer.
I'm Sam. I also sing and I play guitar.
I'm Jaren, and I do keyboards and guitar and wop bops.
Wop bops. We're gonna come back to that in a second. Wop bops. Wow.
I'm Andy, and I play drums.
I'm Joey, and I play bass.
Okay.
I mean,
my name's Lena, and I sing.
I'm gonna just start here because I like to blow things up for moment one. You're an art pop collective. So is that yours, or did someone hand you Art Pop Collective?
I mean, I didn't make up the term art pop or the term collective.
But you're saying you had to, when you formed this thing, which we're going to get to in a second, because this stuff's not out there.
Yeah.
What's the difference between a collective and a band?
I guess the word collective to us feels natural because there's so many people involved in different aspects of our project, and it's different combinations of us working on.
So the collective isn't the only people in this room. It's also the people who help make you make the record and everything else. The way you see it.
Yeah. There's people who we work on videos with. Lots of different people who we work on music with in the recording setting. Different people who play with us live at different times. People who, you know, work on
photographers, filmers.
Yeah, and they're all part of the group to us.
Quotes, went to school together. So how many people actually went to school together, and where did you went to school together?
All of us. Yeah.
So everybody went to school together. Where did
not all together at the same school at the same time, but we were all in different schools. I would guess except Lena.
So the expression...
No.
Oh, they were in... Oh, yeah, they technically
we
went
didn't
to...
know each other.
Yeah.
So the famous Dan Fogelberg album, Twin Sons of Different Mothers, would apply here.
Oh yeah, for sure.
To a certain extent.
For sure.
So where did one go to school together, sorta, kinda? Is this high school? Is this college? Is this...
Yes.
All of the above.
Give me a little more. Give me a little more. I'm looking for... There ain't no background that's out there yet. The bios don't... If I showed you the bio that comes with this thing from the promo people...
Yeah.
It's like, well, you sound like this and you do that and you live in a nudist colony. We'll get there. but that's what I get. And that's what I've got to work with. And that's why we're here, to kind of connect a few... Just more than a few dots.
So me and Andy grew up together in the South Bay. Here in LA.
So South Bay meaning like Torrance?
Yeah,
like,
Torrance, Redondo, Hawthorne, yep.
Okay.
Hermosa.
I know what the South Bay is.
Yeah,
I lived there for a while.
We lived in all those towns, and we grew up together playing music, and then I went to college with Jaren.
And where was college?
CalArts.
Okay. Okay. See, now we're digging a little deeper.
Yeah.
And did one go through CalArts and do some of the full CalArts stuff?
Yeah, I was in a naked performance group.
Seriously?
Yeah, for sure.
Wow.
Yeah, it was awesome. We would show up...
But what did you major in at CalArts?
Naked performance.
Seriously?
No.
Come on. I may be old, but I'm not senile. At what moment did a switch flip and you said, I don't want to live in the city. I don't want to hang out at Squirrel in Hollywood. I don't want to... Yeah. But when did this actually formalize into why we're here today? That it's an actual collective.
Well, I still love the South Bay, and I do.
I'm joking about that.
Yeah,
but you,
all of us
made a pretty major life decision.
Yeah.
Right? And the first thing that anybody's gonna say is Jim Jones, Charles Manson, Scientology. Weird folks running around naked in the former nudist colony.
Yeah.
So how do we... So let's... Yeah. Let's. Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, audience, we all are. You just can't tell because it's friggin' radio. But when we take this, but when we take the selfie outside the house, it's not gonna be pretty. Anyway,
I wrote a song outside, naked on the porch this morning. So
I have not... But that's not my point. I mean.
Cities are wonderful and are really empowering for a lot of people who live in them, and also disempowering for a lot of people who live in them. Mm-hmm. And I think having grown up in a city, there's a certain degree of just collective trauma that you inherit, especially in LA, like the car thing and just the inequality with housing and like what, you know, what you can afford in LA. It's really tough. And we were super lucky to find on Craigslist a place that was cheaper than living in the city, where we could all of us go in together and we could all live, and it was in a beautiful place, and we could kind of get out of, you know, what to me is that like that feedback loop of stress.
No, and that's suffering, legit.
Being in the
it
grid.
Also allows you to be musicians. Yeah. And I said I wasn't going to go influences, but it's almost impossible here not to hear a zillion things. But what I'm more interested in is when you were forming this thing, when this thing was evolving, what discussions were there of what it was going to sound like and how it was going to sound? And were there discussions?
The only conversation is really about not making decisions and getting out of the way and letting the music speak.
How does this many people get out of each other's way?
I think, you know, for us, it's more about like getting out of your own way. And just as far as making a choice about the aesthetic of the music, that's not really something that is part of any conversation that we've ever had.
So what discussions do you have?
If the music is coming from a true place, if it feels connected, if we're all loving it, if we all feel truth in it.
Do you write the songs and then everybody joins in? Is there a start? Is there a methodology of any sort? Or do you all have a seance and the lyrics magically come to you? And again, I'm not being facetious.
Yeah, for sure.
But this stuff is missing. It's not here. And I want people to understand how it gets to something as sophisticated as this.
Yeah. It depends on the song, you know. Some of them, like I am just writing the song on my own, and that's usually like pretty intuitive and concise experience. And then I'll arrange it in the studio. And then there's other songs that we'll write together, like the song Get It Right I wrote with somebody else in the group, in the collective. And that was the same kind of process. Like we didn't approach it talking about like the stylistic background that we wanted it to connect to. We just were feeling a moment and the song came out, and we're working on another record right now. And, you know, we jam together at the house and stuff comes out intuitively that way. But I can't remember any of us ever talking about like what styles we want to reference.
Yeah. We never really have formal discussions like verbally, like with our words. What we do for the most part, I'd say 90% of the time, it's Sam bringing a song that he wrote on his guitar to the project.
Okay.
And then, at least nowadays, it's been happening this way where the whole group will pitch in their ideas and it'll get sussed out that way as far as parts go and harmonies are written. And then there's another, so that's like how songs are written in the group. And there's also the way songs are written in the studio. So there's like the two main ways songs kind of become. So in the studio, it is like what Sam was talking about, like taking a song. Sometimes a song isn't even written yet, and we'll go into the studio and jam something out, whether it be with one of our producers or just Sam or just some one of us, you know, even, and take from that a little musical idea and then write lyrics. Usually it would be Sam writing like the melodies on top of it. But there are other songs where other people contribute as well and coming up with their own special flavors.
See, and Sam doesn't, I'm watching the look on Sam's face, and he wants to be, you want to be more ethereal. And I understand that.
Yeah.
Because that's part of the vibe of the band.
Yeah.
But it's still important for people, because great music is not magic. I mean, it is magic. Now, you just mentioned producers. There's, aside from the fact that there's a big collective, there's a team behind this, is there not?
Yeah, well, I mean, the producers who we work with are all part of the collective.
They are, okay. Yeah. But their role in the collective
is to be,
is that they have engineering chops.
They have engineering chops, but I do too. Like I engineered, I would say, like 80% of that album.
Right. So the other producers in the collective, you go to them because they know how to do certain things better. Or differently.
It just is awesome to
Or it's
be,
input.
It's input. It's also it empowers the process to have somebody else.
You get out of yourself, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. We're working this Danny is our boy, and he's part of the group, you know, and he helped me engineer some of this first album, and he's engineering the majority of the second album, which we're all a little bit over halfway done with right now.
So let's go a little deeper into Santa Monica and Castaic and Danny, your boy, and your engineering in 200 days.
Yeah.
That's a lot of days to get to I would imagine that there's either a you-know-what load on the cutting room floor mm-hmm. of stuff that, and I'm going to get to that in a second.
Yeah.
But let's debunk 200 days in Santa Monica and Castaic where nobody knows where it is.
I'm in.
Yes, yeah,
let's go.
So tell me.
Okay, so as far as the cutting room floor goes, there's only one song that we worked on for this album that didn't make it on the album. So there was only one song, and we completed it.
So what'd you do the 190?
I was in
186.5 days.
Yeah. So I mean, I was
carry the one.
I was very new to recording, and when we started,
okay.
So it was a process of practice. And I, like I said, I was engineering, you know, 80% of this record on my own. So getting things sonically right, getting the performances right, discovering what the arrangements wanted to be, working on the mix.
Okay,
there's a lot of trial and error. Or I don't even like the word
error. No.
It's always a development.
But to use one of the influences we're not going to talk about.
Yeah.
Because we're not going to talk about it, even though I'm about to.
Yeah.
I've spent a fair amount of time at 6000 Sunset, and you know what was recorded at 6000 Sunset. Yeah. I would imagine you know.
Yeah.
So the reason I'm being so completely pain in the you know what about this is because that's cool. Because we know how much time the wrecking crew spent working just how many days Brian Wilson spent just on Good Vibrations, bringing in musicians, rearranging, trying to figure out what the F that was.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of that going on, too. And that goes back to what you were asking us earlier, like getting out of each other's way or getting out of our own way, as Sam put it, our own way.
To try to figure out what actually is going to be the song and what's going to actually make it good.
Or, yeah, exactly. Or the parts that are going to make it onto the record. There's a lot of back and forth between that. And, like, you know, that's a big collective.
Yeah, the 200 days didn't feel like a lot because it came after like as part of a lifetime of practicing music and practicing recording and seeking actualization. And I think it was that kind of perfectionism that initiated the process, but also obstructed the process. And it was learning about like really letting go of that and letting the music speak for itself. And you know, the Castaic studio, that was just my...
Where was Castaic?
It's near Six Flags, Magic Mountain.
Okay, yeah, my uncle used to live in Saugus, so...
Oh, yeah.
Now I know where it is.
Right near there, and it was just...
There's a lot that goes on up there. They shoot a lot of TV shows up there.
Yeah, it's a weird place. That's where CalArts is, so that's how we ended up.
Oh, is it? I didn't... You see, I didn't even know that. Is there a vision? Is there a reason that you chose to make this kind of music? Because... most of this kind of music usually emits from dark places, from people who've had lives before that they've had discoveries or they've had a bad trip or whatever. And then they said, you know, because most of it's not like the Beach Boys. Most of it's not like the Beatles. That's not usually the stories that get to music that is indeed this kind of, you know, this kind of happy and this kind of, you know, ethereal vibe.
Mm-hmm. You want to know how I've suffered?
No, I don't want to know how you suffered. I want to know how you got... No. You know what?
Yeah. I guess that's just... That's just the little sparkly voice inside that wanted to come out. I think that I did go through some really gnarly traumatic experiences like immediately before and during
making
this record.
Okay. Fair game.
And... yeah, some several near-death experiences.
Really? Okay.
And there was also before that, you know, just like personal trauma, cultural trauma that I inherit, that, you know, going on a lifelong inner journey.
We also live in a pretty friggin' strange world.
In a strange world, yeah. Don't we? Yeah. So like not just overcoming that stuff, but allowing space for it and feeling it and healing through that, being present with what is.
So is this cathartic? To get to the other is this side. Cathartic?
For sure. For yeah. sure. And it's, you know, getting to the place where we can hear the intuition, the music. It starts with like listening to yourself and being with yourself and feeling all of that tension and all those wounds. And yeah, that See, life meditation of self-study. Each song is a transformation from the one next to it. And it like you asked, like the 200 days, it was an immersive learning process, and we transformed through making it. A big part of the joy that you hear is the joy that we were feeling discovering our connection to music in a more pure way. It was like, oh my God, this is how you do it. It was so exciting because we've made music our whole lives and it never felt true.
And so I've invented a thing called a musical sandwich. Mm-hmm. And what that is two of your songs on the outside and songs by other artists or bands or collectives in between.